Set.
Father, we are so grateful this morning. Father, we're grateful for the breath of life that you've given us. Lord, we're grateful for Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah. Lord, the way that we have to come to you, Father. Lord, we are grateful, Lord God, this morning that you've given us, Father, another day, another chance, Lord, to walk with you and to know you, Lord, in this life. So, Lord, we receive it as a gift from you. Father, we pray, Lord God, and we take authority over every demonic force and every work of the devil because you've given that to us in Jesus' name. And Lord, we break it right now, Lord God. We cast it out, Father. We call it null and void in this place, Lord. Every assignment of the devil is broken in this place in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray, Lord God, for every life here, every person that hears these words, Lord. We pray that, Lord, your Spirit would minister to them, Father God, even as I get out of the way and yield completely to your Spirit, Lord God, which is the only thing good in us, Lord, and in me. So, Lord, we go forward in Jesus' name, praying your blessing over this time. Amen. Amen. Okay. Flip to John 16. You know, I was thinking of something even while, you know, before I get into this, but you know that carol that they were singing, we were singing earlier, this Hark the Herald Angels Sing, yes? Do you think of that carol that there's? And that one part where they say, you know, man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. You know, actually, that's not true. I'll explain it. Man has the option to live forevermore because of the cross and not Christmas Day. See, there's a lot of things I could get into about Christmas Day and even Jesus when he was born and all of that. But Jesus did come into the earth. Yes, he came into the earth. But he had to do something while he was here. And he was given plenty of options and ways out. He could have come into the earth and in Luke chapter 4, when the devil offered him all the kingdoms of the world, he could have took that offer. So you would have had Christmas Day, but man would have definitely not lived forevermore. Man would have been bound into an eternal death, and that would have been everyone's reality. No, when Jesus was on the cross and when Jesus said, "It is finished," that death was paid for your sin and my sin, and the propitiation for our sins was made in Christ Jesus. That's where we get the chance in Christ Jesus. We get the chance for relationship with the Father. Now this is life eternal, that they might know you, the one true living God, and your Son whom he sent, Jesus Christ. That's John 17 verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. John 17:3. But that didn't happen because of Christmas Day. That happened because of the cross. And we have to always keep that in mind. We have to always keep that in the forefront. Christ coming into the world was the beginning of that work, but that work was finished, and that work, the reason that we have life in Him is because of the cross, because He finished that work. So let me clarify that hymn, and if you're angry at me for ruining your hymn, I'm sorry. But you know, because I think sometimes too, we have to always keep that in the forefront of who we are, what we're about, and really why we have this hope. Because the world will take a season like right now, and you have holidays and parties and all these different things, but for us as a people of God, we keep we're mindful of really what it is that it is to be a follower of Christ. Okay, so I don't want to digress too much. Okay, John, now I want to go back a little bit. John 16. And verse 32 says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Okay. Now Jesus, let's stay on this thing about Christ coming into the world for a reason and a purpose. Okay. Here is the Son of God coming into a reality that's anti-Christ. The reality is not for Christ. Now he comes into and he faces off against a world system that's built in such a way to bring people away from the light and truth. And because of what he comes into this world against, nobody really has a problem with him until he begins that ministry empowered by the Spirit of God. Yes, Herod tries to kill him before, you know, in that first couple of years. And he's off in the temple for a little while when he's 12. So go ahead. And there's a lot of views you don't hear much about what's going on with Jesus. But when the Spirit of God comes upon Christ, and when that Spirit that changes everything, when He starts preaching, the kingdom of God is near, that was when all of a sudden now everybody started to lose their mind. Everybody started going crazy. Right? They all started going crazy because here it is now, this King of Kings is talking about the establishment of a different kingdom. And he said, my kingdom is not of this world, when he was questioned by Pilate. Now, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, and the cross, when it was finished, now the way was made for all of us, through the blood of Christ and the body of Christ Jesus, to come into the kingdom of light and truth. And if you would follow Him, if you would walk in His footsteps and be one of His disciples, after you receive that gift, you are going to face certain things in this life. So you become an ambassador of the very kingdom you've become part of. So an ambassador, you become a representative of the kingdom of light and the kingdom of truth right now in this place, in this dimension. And as a representative of the kingdom of light and the kingdom of truth, you are representing that light and truth in a world that is given over to darkness and the power of Satan. In Acts 26, when Paul talks about the assignment that God gave him, he said to turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. So if you're doing this thing in connection with the Spirit of God, if you're doing this right, you are a representative of light and the power of God and truth in a world that's in darkness under the power of Satan and is living a lie. Now how do you think you're received by that other kingdom? Are you given a warm welcome? Is the response by the kingdom of darkness, oh please come on in, shine everywhere? Yes? No? No? No, of course not. Of course not. Of course there's not a warm welcome for light and truth in a kingdom full of lies and darkness. In fact, Jesus said, look, if they hate you, remember that they first hated me. He says, if they got a problem with you, keep in mind that they first had a problem with me.
Yes.
So, we're in good company. So now, to put that in context, in John 16, where he says that, where he said that, I have spoken these things, verse 33, unto you that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Okay, have peace. Well, one thing is, when you know what's going on, that helps. If you're wondering why you're a target, why these demons keep attacking your home and your mind and your all these different things that are coming against your life, now you know. And Jesus promises peace that passes all understanding to those that are His. He gives that internal peace. And part of what that means is that no matter what's going on around you, you can be in the middle of a storm, but inside your spirit and your soul can be calm like a sea of glass. And Jesus would oftentimes do miracles to show a spiritual reality in the natural. So He'd give a natural example of the spiritual reality. So even in the middle of a storm, a natural storm, Jesus walked on the water just like it was. So He was showed even that He's above every trial and tribulation that may be there, and He has power over all of it. And for anyone that would fix their eyes on Him, they would be able to do the same thing no matter what's going on around them. And like Peter, as long as he looked to the Lord, he could do that which was miraculous. Yeah, as Peter did, kept his eyes on Christ, he was able to do that which was miraculous. And when he looked, when he got his eyes off of Christ and got caught up in the natural circumstance, that's when he started to sink. Okay, so in this world you will have trouble. Promise from Jesus. Okay, so you know it's coming. You've already had some. You know you'll have more. Okay, so but Jesus has also called all of His people to be overcomers. So you have been called as a follower of Christ Jesus. Revelation 2, Revelation 3 talks about how everyone who is, to him who overcomes, everyone, every church, everywhere, through all time, is called to overcome. And there's different things we have to overcome, but today I want to focus on one area. Okay, how do you overcome adversity? In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. So now, if you're going to have trouble, and He's overcome, how do you overcome? Okay. Okay, I'll give you some things. If you got your, if you got a notepad with you today, it might be useful to write some of this. Okay. The first one I'm going to give you is pray. Now, Matthew chapter 26. And verse 40 says, "And when he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto them, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Okay. When we pray, what we're doing is we are aligning our being with the Spirit of God. And what you're doing is you're aligning your spirit, your soul, your flesh with the Father. And when you come into alignment with the Father, you're also in a place where there is a free flow that comes from heaven through you. You're in a place where you can hear what the Father says to you about the situations that you might be in. Because like Peter in the ocean, or in the raging sea, if he start looking at all the things around you, you can get caught up with your natural circumstance. But if you hear the word that comes from Christ, where he says, come on out, you can walk, that's all you need. Now when you pray, there's a temptation. I've seen this. There's religions of this world condition people to pray a particular way. Say 5 Hail Marys, say the Lord's Prayer 3 times, and everything's okay. Say 5 Hail Marys, say the Lord's Prayer, Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yeah. No, when you pray, open up your heart and let there be communication between you and the Father. Jesus died on the cross so that you could have a relationship with the Father. If Nirmala comes up to me and Nirmala says, "Oh Govinda, whose father and mother are my friends, and we've known each other for the last 20 years," and if Nirmala starts a conversation like that with me, I'm like, "Nirmala, get to the point. What do you want to talk to me about? Let's talk." You see what I'm saying? I mean, like, yes, we praise God, yes, we honor Him, but He wants communication with you. So let your heart be open when you come before the Father. Lord, here's where I am. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. This is where my thoughts are. Please show me. Please help me. Please direct me. Because so often, that point where people actually get to the point of breaking before God, it seems like it takes so much more for them to actually be real. To be real with the Father. So often people are very content with some kind of religious observance. And God wants a relationship with you. And along those same lines, when you are in prayer, you are also in a place where you can... God's given you power over the situations in your life. I was talking with some friends recently about this. Instead of when you pray, Lord Jesus, would you please... No, you take authority over that situation in Jesus' name because He's given you that. Why are you asking Him for something He's already given you? And not just once, over and over and over again, months and years go like that. Lord Jesus, would you please? Lord Jesus, would you please? Please, Jesus. Jesus only had to say it one time. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto me, therefore go. Make disciples of all nations, but go. The point being, Jesus has all authority on heaven and on earth. You and I, in Him, we live and move and have our being. You are a son and a daughter of the living God, given authority from God Himself for whatever situation you might be facing in life. And in whatever situation in life that you may be facing, in that thing, in that place, you can, in the power of God and in the Spirit of God, you have authority over those things. Pray. There's not a demon in hell that can resist and stand against the power of God that God's put in you. Okay, flip to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm 1, I guess. And Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish."
Okay.
Okay. Meditate in the Word of God. I'm giving you your next one. If His words remain in you, you remain in His Word, His words remain in you, will you bear much fruit? John 15, yes? But this is more than the print on the page. This is what God is speaking to you. He'll speak to you through this, but He'll speak directly to you. Scriptures tell us here that the person that does this, that allows us to be where they let their thoughts and their minds be, that person, that he's, that whatever he does prospers, and he's like verse 3, that he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, a tree planted by the water gets hot like every other tree. Now, a tree planted by all the trees are experiencing the same sun. But because it's close to that flowing source of life, and its roots, so it's not what you see on the surface, but it's where everything on the foundation of that life is built and where it's going. It is sustained no matter what the conditions are that come its way. So in the times of plenty and abundance and when things are going well, all the trees are flourishing. But when things get rough, when the climate gets bad, the tree planted by the river of water is the one that continues to flourish because it's connected to the source of life and it has its own flow. And God says that the person that is like that, the person that meditates on His Word day and night, the person that lets that Word stay with them, you are like that tree. And there's some amazing promises that go with that. Now, why I bring this one up is because also the world is out for your mind as well. The world is trying very, very hard to get your thoughts to not meditate in the Word of God. It wants to get you caught up in how bad the world might be. What are you going to do about a financial situation? Here's a family problem. Oh my gosh. Here's a bunch of entertainment. Just have this. But in the end, what it is, God is saying, look, meditate in my word. Let this word remain in you. This word is life. Let Let me ask you a question. Think of the crises that you were having 3 years ago. Think about the crises in your life that you were having a few years back. Can you even remember what they were? Some of them, yeah. But most of them have continued to go on. Because life has kept moving. Yeah, I remember a global one. Everybody thought in the year 2000, because when it went from 1999 to 2000, that the world was going to end. And you know, I think they've consistently always kept the end of the world 2 or 3 years ahead. Two or three years ahead, the end of the world has always been there. Because it's the reason is, you see how people remain in a state of fear all the time with that. Now the world didn't end in 2000. What's the new movie at the Savoy? 2012. Again about the end of the world. And everybody goes and sees it and comes out. Now, ultimately for us as people of God, if you're in Christ, you've already died to this world anyways. And the life that we live in this world is in Him. So if it's 2012, 2011, 2050, it doesn't matter. Because when we leave this life, it'll just be like this. You will switch into an entirely different reality and keep going. And you can't kill a Christian. If you die as a Christian, you're blessed. So you can't kill a Christian, you bless a Christian. A true follower of Christ. So it's fine. But the world will panic, the world will continue to be in fear and live in this anxiety. We don't live and think like the world thinks. But in order for you to not get sucked up into all of that, you have to take a discipline, be a disciple, and discipline your mind and your thinking. Okay, go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to give you a couple more. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anointest thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appearest not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now, Jesus didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. And the reason is, too, is when you fast, one thing that you're doing is you are disciplining your physical and mental state so that you can then focus on the Spirit and the Kingdom of God. Now, fasting and dieting are not the same things. I'm going to make this really clear. I know some people, they get really busy, really hectic with life, everything's going so fast, and they forget to eat, and they're like, oh, okay, I'm fasting. No. That's not fasting. When someone is fasting, what you're doing is you are deliberately making a decision that you are going to align and focus yourself with the Spirit of God, and that in doing that, part of what you're doing is even maybe removing something that you would enjoy in the natural so that you can devote all of yourself to the pursuit of Spirit. And the Spirit of God will lead you into that. And when He does, you respond in that way because He's drawing you to a deeper sense of intimacy. Because when you fast, one thing that you're doing too is you're building spiritual strength, spiritual muscle for the journey ahead. And that will help you in the days ahead with what you have to face. Okay. Acts chapter 1. And we're almost finished here. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, oops, page is stuck here. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now God offers and He encourages His early church, stay in Jerusalem until you've received this power and this promise that comes from God. And this invitation was made to 500 and only 120 showed up and received that. You are a people of power when you're in Christ Jesus. And you should be waiting on the Lord for that, and when He gives it to you, you should be using that according to the power of God. And according to His purpose for you. Wow. And that power that He puts in His people, it's also power to demolish every stronghold and every work of the devil. In fact, it says in 1 John that for this reason that Christ Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And God puts that power in us so that we too can basically demolish every stronghold and everything that exalts itself against the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So as a follower of Christ Jesus, when you are overcoming adversity in this life, seek His power, and when you've received it, use it. Okay, one more and then we're done. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Okay. Ultimately too, when you're in trials, when you're in difficult situations and in difficult times, don't lean on your natural soulful thinking. You trust the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on the thoughts and the understanding of your mind. Ask Him for the direction and He will show you. And many, many, many times what He's looking to do is He's waiting for you to ask Him, "Lord, which way to go?" He'll show you because He's clearing a path for you down that path that He's directing. So wait on Him and He will show you the way through. And ultimately, when you're asking for direction, go with what He shows you. When you're asking for direction, go with what, follow what He shows you. Don't ask for the will of God so that you can consider it. Ask for the will of God so that you can do it. Okay, so we could go into more, but this is a big chunk for you today, because ultimately this is life now. You are living in this world, and as you're going through this world, you need to be prepared for this. So take some of these tools, develop them, cultivate them, because God is calling you to live the overcoming life in Christ Jesus.
And with that, my time is gone, so I'll stop.